Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakhtar.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. We are still moving on our study of Quran chapter 10, the book of Yunus, which is the book of Jonah, to learn more about the stories of the Quran. As usual, Muhammad liked to repeat all the stories in the Bible in weird order throughout the pages of his Quran. So today, we will share some few of these bold statements which I have in my English translation of the Quran and the passages which come after it. For example, before verse 64, we have the bold statement, "There is no change to the words of Allah." This is a very astonishing statement in the Quran. If Muslim will just read it as it is repeated throughout the Quran in different words, they will never claim that the Bible has been changed or the Bible has been corrupted. Let's ask the question. When the Bible was written, was it perfect? I mean, when Moses wrote what he wrote and when all the prophets of the Old Testament and all the apostles of the New Testament wrote to us their message in that holy book, the Bible, was it written corrupted or was it accurate and then later it was corrupted? Muslim would say it was written perfectly, but it was corrupted later. How can the Quran say that no one can change the word of Allah and in the same time Muslim believes that the Bible has been changed? Unless you believe that it was written wrong to start with from the beginning, then you cannot make up the claim that somebody has the power or the authority to change the words of God. Here is what is written in verse 64 of Quran chapter 10. They have the good news in this world's life and in the hereafter. There is no change to the words of Allah. This is the great triumph. Did you hear what Allah said? There is no change to the words of Allah. If the Bible used to be the word of Allah, that means it cannot be changed. It will always be perfect forever. Why? Because the Quran clearly said no one can change the words of Allah. Let's move on to another bold statement which contradicts what we just have said. Why is that? Because before verse 68, we have the bold statement, Allah does not have a son. Wait a minute. When we read the Bible, the perfect word of God, which according to Quran chapter 10 and verse 64, no one can change, we learn about God to be a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we're not talking about Son because the Father have sexual relationship with a female and from her he begot his Son. No. We're talking about the Word of God becoming flesh. That is, who is our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. God Almighty coming into this world in a form of a human, a perfect man. As even the Quran testifies that Isa, son of Mary, is a perfect, holy, righteous son and a man in this world and in the hereafter. And that is the greatest difference between any human and Jesus Christ, the human. Why? Because he is the Son of God. He is God Almighty who came in the flesh. So if he is God, he must be perfect. And he is the perfect Word of God who became a human to be the perfect Son of God. And here's what Allah said in Quran chapter 10 and verse 68. They said, Allah took a son. Praise be to him. He is the rich. To him what is in the heavens and what is on the earth. Do you have authority for this? Wow. They said, Allah did not say in the Quran that Jesus is the Son of God, but Allah said that is a claim of the Christians. And as we have seen before in Quran chapter 9 and verse 30, Muhammad lied about the Jewish people by claiming that they said Ezra is the son of Allah. And then he said, and the Christians said that Isa, son of Mary, is the son of Allah. And then he clearly stated in the Quran that these are lies. For neither Ezra is the son of Allah, nor Isa, son of Mary is the son of Allah. Obviously, as I said before, no Jew ever believes that Ezra is the son of Allah. But we Christians believe that Jesus Christ is the son of God. So once again, how can the Quran, in Quran chapter 10 verse 64, testify without any shadow of a doubt that the Bible is the perfect word of God? And at the same time, in verse 68, of the same chapter, chapter 10, Allah declares that he has no son. Obviously, there is contradiction. The Quran have to declare that the Bible has changed and has been corrupted, which goes against so many of the verses of the Quran. Or Muhammad and the Muslims must acknowledge that Jesus is the word of God. He is the son of God who came in the flesh. Let's move on to verse 71, where we learn once again the story of Noah, which Muhammad continued to repeat throughout the pages of his Quran. Nothing Muhammad wrote about Noah is true. If you collect all the verses which Allah mentioned in the Quran, the name Noah and the story of Noah, you find out that it is fabricated story. And what is so amazing about Noah's in the Quran, like the rest of the stories which Muhammad copied from the Bible and he inserted in his Quran, that not only the Quran contradicts the Bible, but the Quran contradicts the Quran. Let us read some of the words of Noah in Quran chapter 10, beginning from verse 71. Allah said, "And recite to them the news of Noah when he said to his people." What did Noah say to his people? Listen carefully. He said, "Oh my people, if my dwelling with you was big and my reminding you of the verses of Allah, so on Allah I depended. So gather your affair and your partners, then do not let your affair be a burden on you." What in the world is Noah talking about? I have no clue. Neither even Muslim scholars. It's just sets of words. It may sound great in the Arabic language because of the poetic system Muhammad used to write his Quran. But when you translate the Quran to any other language, you found out it is like the writing of somebody who's drunk. Noah never made these statements anywhere in the Bible. And it does not make any sense if you read it here in the Quran. We'll continue with the words of Noah in verse 72. "So if you turn away, so I have not asked you for any wage. My wage is only on Allah." Excuse me. Was Noah a prophet to make money out of the people? Was he informing them of the judgment of God and somehow he asked for some money? Noah knows for 120 years as he was building his ark that the whole earth will be flooded. He will not take anything from the earth with him on the boat except his own family and the animals which he will protect in the ark until they come out of the ark. And that is the message of Noah. It is the judgment of God is coming. It's not about making salary or making wages as some Muslim imam collect from their people. Noah continued, "And I am commanded to be of the Muslims." Excuse me, Noah was a Muslim man? Yes, indeed. As we shared with you in our last program, Muslims believe every prophet who came before Muhammad were Muslims, including Isa, son of Mary. He was also a Muslim. Then we read in verse 73, "So they denied him. So we here is Allah, delivered him and those who were with him in the ship." And if you ask Muslim scholars, who are those who were with him on the ship? Surprise, surprise, you'll be shocked that they come up with many numbers. Some say there were 28 people, some say there were 46 people, some say there were 118 people, and all the numbers you can imagine. Why is that? Because these Muslim scholars are not scholars at all. They're a bunch of dummers who did not bother to read the Genesis account to come up with the right number. For heaven's sake, according to the Quran, his own son and his own wife drowned. When in reality, we know that those who were with Noah were simply three boys, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and three daughter-in-laws. These are the wives of his three boys and Noah and his wife. Only eight people were delivered from the flood. We continue with verse 73, "And we made them viceroys." Who are them? These are the 100+ people who believed in Noah. "And we drowned those who denied our verses. So see, how was the end of the world?" Oh, really? That's really important information. Only the 100+ who were with Noah, Allah delivered. But all the people on the earth drowned. You see how dumb it is to read the verses of the Quran? especially when you have some true knowledge of what really took place in the life of Noah according to the Bible. Verse 74 will read, then we sent after him messengers to their peoples. Excuse me, what messengers? Which people? So they came to them with proofs. What proofs? I mean, for heaven's sake, Muhammad himself did not have any proof except that Quran, which we are studying in this broadcast, to see that it's a dumb book. So they were not to believe in what they denied previously. Excuse me, how could these people not believe in what they denied previously if they were already drowned? It seemed to me, as you read other verses of the Quran, actually, according to the Quran, not all the people of the earth drowned, because in the book of Noah, that is Quran chapter 71, verses 26 and 27, we read, and Noah said, my Lord, do not leave any infidel dwellers on the earth. Surely if you leave them, they will lead your servant astray, and they will not beget except wicked infidel. Which means actually Noah does not know that it is worldwide flood, not just for some people on the earth, but the entire earth will be flooded. And the story of Noah in Quran chapter 10 ended with, likewise we seal on the hearts of the transgressors. Allah chose for those people not to become good Muslims, as Noah was Muslim, as many of the messengers who came after him, which we do not know who they are, were all Muslims.
Muslims claim that the Quran is the final revelation of Allah to mankind, a perfect book given to us through Muhammad. Islam challenges that upon reading the Quran, the seeker is at once convinced that it is the very word of Allah. Muslims declare that no mere man could have written such a perfect collection of verses, covering a wide variety of topics, events, and doctrines. Within the pages of the Quran, one will find familiar events and people such as the creation, the flood, Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. But even the casual reader will notice distinct and striking differences between the Quranic and the much older biblical accounts of the same topics. Muslim apologists will contend that it is the Bible which has been corrupted. The Straight Wave Grace Ministry is pleased to announce the release of a challenging and thought-provoking two-volume book series titled Exposing the Truth About the Quran. Containing over 800 pages of detailed research, the author examines these claims through careful comparisons of Quranic, biblical, historical, and archaeological records. The reader will soon discover that the Quran does not even agree with itself and is completely at odds with biblical and historical accounts. Exposing the Truth About the Quran, Volumes 1 and 2, are available now. After 14 centuries of blind adherence, now is the time for critical and thoughtful examination. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. And now, back to our show.
Now, beginning in verse 75, we learn about Prophet Moses. Once again, Muhammad copies the story of Moses from the Bible, and he repeated all over the Quran. And once again, here we see many contradictions, not only between the Quran and the Bible, but between the Quran and the Quran. The story of Moses began in Quran chapter 10 in verse 75. And that is Allah's statement, then we sent after them Moses. Who are them? Oh, those are the messengers, which we do not know who they were, whom Allah sent on the earth after Noah. We learn about them in verse 74. Then we sent after him, that is Noah, messengers to their people. Somehow, there were a bunch of messengers who came after Noah to their people. And then after these messengers, here we go, we see Moses. Okay, Allah, go ahead. Tell me about your Moses in the Quran. Oh, let's read again. Then we sent after them Moses and Aaron. Oh, we're not talking about one prophet. We're talking about two, Moses and Aaron, to Pharaoh and his leaders with our signs. So they acted proudly and they were criminal people. Excuse me, did Allah really send Moses and Aaron to Pharaoh? You see, the message of the Quran is very simple. It is Moses, the good Muslim prophet, was sent by Allah, in this case here it is Moses and Aaron, to Pharaoh, to teach Pharaoh about Islam, that may Pharaoh believe in Allah, that may Pharaoh become a good Muslim, not just Pharaoh, but obviously Pharaoh and his people. Is this really the message of the Bible? Is that what Moses wrote about himself in the Bible? He was sent to Pharaoh so he may lead Pharaoh to become a good Muslim? Let's continue with the propaganda story of the Quran. So when the truth came to them from us, they said, surely this is obvious sorcery. What sorcery? Oh, the signs, the miracles which Moses did. Like what? Oh, like the hand turned to white without harm, and his staff became a snake, and the water turned to blood. But wait a minute. Were these signs given to Pharaoh and his leaders, or to the children of Israel? We'll read the answer in the end of this broadcast. In verse 57, Moses said, do you say to the truth after it has come to you, is this sorcery? And the sorcerers will not prosper. They said in verse 78, have you come to us to turn us from what we found our fathers on, and to you will be the glory on the earth, and we will not believe in you? I'm sorry, if we go back to Exodus account, we will never see that statement written anywhere there. Pharaoh and his leaders never made that nonsensical statement in the Bible. Why? Because once again, Moses did not go to Pharaoh nor to the Egyptian to lead them to Islam. In verse 79, and Pharaoh said, bring me with every knowing sorcerer. So when the sorcerers came, Moses said to them, cast down what you will cast. So when they cast down, Moses said, whatever sorceries you brought, surely Allah will demolish it. Surely Allah will not make the work of the vandals to be good. And Allah will establish the truth by his words, even if the criminals hate it. Once again, all made up sentences in the Quran. And if we read the rest of the repeated story of Moses in the Quran, you will see that Moses did not say these words. And what is more important to me, that Moses did not say that in the Bible. In verse 83, we're astonished to learn that not only Pharaoh and his leaders did not believe in Moses, but even the children of Israel did not believe except for a few. And that is what we read in verse 83. So no one believed to Moses except an offspring from his people because of fear of Pharaoh and his leaders, lest he should seduce him. And surely Pharaoh is exalted in the land, and surely he is of the extravagant. Do you understand what Allah said in the Quran here? Nobody of Moses' people believed in it except a few of his offspring, because they were afraid of Pharaoh. Excuse me, they already been in slavery for 400 years. They cry out to God for a deliverer, and God sent Moses to deliver them out of the land of Egypt to the promised land. They know that the day is coming and they will be delivered from Egypt, but they do not know when. So when Moses came to them, they did not believe in him because they're afraid of Pharaoh. In verse 84, and Moses said, oh my people, if you were believing in Allah, so depend on him. If you were Muslims, here we go again. Not only Prophet Moses was a Muslim, but all his people were also Muslims. You see, when Muslims read verses like that in the Quran, they actually convinced that the Jewish of today are not good Jews simply because they're not Muslims. So as the Christians of today are not good because they're not Muslims. Because when you read the Quran, you find that Jesus was a Muslim and his disciples who believed in him were also Muslims. So if we are today are not Muslims as Christians, oh, that means we are infidels. In verse 85, so they said, on Allah we depend, our Lord, do not make us a sedition to the unjust people, and deliver us by your mercy from the infidel people. Do we read these words anywhere in the Bible from Moses' people? Of course not. Why? Because what we read in the Quran is a made-up story. Now, do we read the same words of Moses' people somewhere else in the Quran as Muhammad continued to repeat the story of Moses. No, it is not there either. Contradiction in the Quran is a great evidence that it is not the word of God. Now let me give you the summary of this portion which we studied in the Quran from the Exodus account, as Moses himself wrote to us by his own hands with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. In Exodus chapter 4, in verse 1, we learn that Moses told God, perhaps they will not believe me. In verse 2, God told Moses about the miracle of the rod which was in his hand, and how he threw it on the ground, became a snake. He lifted it up and it became back a rod in his hand. In verse 5, God said, if they did not believe that the Lord had appeared to you, that is the Lord of your God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, put your hand in your bosom. And he did. And it came out white with leprosy as snow. He asked him to put his hand back again in his bosom, and it came out fresh, healed, like the rest of his body. And then in verse 8, God said, if they do not believe these two miracles, take some water and dump it on the earth, and it will become blood, as we read in verse 9. Now in verse 18, we know that Moses went to Egypt. Moses took his wife and his two sons, and he turned back to Egypt, and the rod of God was in his hand. In verse 29, we learn that Moses and Aaron gathered the elders of the children of Israel. Aaron spoke to them about all the words of God, and Moses performed the miracles which God asked him before all his people's eyes. Then in verse 31, we read, so the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord has visited the children of Israel and that he had looked on their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. Wow, something Muhammad did not know. All the people worshipped the Lord God, and all the people believed in Moses. And that contradicts the propaganda of Muhammad in the Quran. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.